Hour number two, still talking about an incredible weekend at Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland. Not only a record crowd, but a wonderful horse took center stage. In fact, our entire community really took center stage yet again. And joining us right now to recap and to talk about his idea that is shaking things up, to say the least, but that's what Tom Tschukas, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, likes to do. Tom, thank you so much for being on the program.
Good evening, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start, Tom, with the Preakness weekend itself and the record crowd and the beautiful weather and California Chrome. Let's start with your overall assessment of those things.
I was very happy. I mean, obviously, when you looked at Friday and with the rain, almost 3 inches of rain, we were worried about Friday and we were worried about Saturday. But truth be told, we came to Saturday, starting with the racing. The racing was great. Chrome won. He's on his way to a potential triple crown. He looks like a real nice horse. We were fortunate. We had over 123,000 people at Pimlico, which is a record. We wagered about, I think, $83 million. And when you take a look around, I've always said this, you have the racing aficionados that are out there solely for the racing. You've got Corporate Village, Turfside Terrace, Sky Suites in the infield. And overall, most of the comments I got were very, very positive. The music went over well. The people had a good time. I talked to the police. I've talked to the fire department. I've talked to Sinai Hospital. Minimal incidents, nowhere near like it used to be. So I believe it was a home run. We'll continue, obviously, to fine-tune things in the years to come. But I think we've changed the brand on Preakness Day. It's something that not only the Jockey Club and the Stronach Group is proud of, I think the city and the state can be very proud of. And we're going to work next year to continue to improve that. And we're working on Friday, the Ultimate Girls Day Out, you know, women's empowerment. We've targeted them on Friday. We believe that they're undervalued and underappreciated. And quite frankly, I don't know if you're married or not.
I am.
Women in my life make 95% of the decisions anyhow.
Friday for the fillies, and I know that's one of the big messages you have. And I guess the big topic, and you're ruffling feathers on this one, but to move the dates of the Preakness Stakes and the Belmont, we've talked about this for the first hour of the show. We've taken a lot of calls on it. Give us your overall game plan here.
I mean, my thoughts are this. It's pretty simple. I'm a traditionalist. I believe in tradition. I support tradition. The only caveat I would say is that tradition cannot be an impediment to what's in the best interest of racing. So when you take a look at this, there's a couple factors. One, the Triple Crown season, the three-year-old season, is one of the best things we have going. It attracts the most attention along with the Breeders' Cup. I'm not diminishing any other races, but it attracts most of the attention. It's in a really consolidated short window. Expanding this to what I've suggested in the past, beginning of May, beginning of June and July, expands our presence, gets our product out to more people, keeps more people interested. So done right and collaboratively, along with Churchill and Belmont and the industry, putting a marketing plan together and a game plan, I think it's a winner. You take a look at the breeding. The breeding's changed dramatically over the years. We've had many conversations about that. The trainer's philosophy is different, okay? They're very much of the belief that you can't run a horse back in 2 weeks, and they won't. So if that's their training methods and then that's their thoughts, then the question of equine safety, equine health comes into play, and I'm concerned about the horse. I want what's best for the horse. I want him to prosper and survive, and that's a major concern for us in that way. And then when you also take a look at this, Triple Crown is part of it, but our charge is to put the best product on the table. And you've got not only the Derby in their undercard races, the Preakness in the undercard races, and the Belmont in the undercard races, but those undercard races, I think the public would love to see the quality that runs on the Derby be able to come on the Derby undercard, the stakes races underneath, come back, Pimlico, and run and come back in Belmont. So it is the Triple Crown, but it's also the undercard races. And if we marketed this right, I mean, you've got a Triple Crown for the boys. Why not a Triple Crown for the fillies?
You know, like
the
that.
Oaks to the Black-Eyed Susan to the Acorn. I think the time's come to have some real serious discussions about this. And I think it's something that should really be looked at. And I think for the good of the industry, and more importantly, the good of the horse, it's something that needs to be done.
Well, I guess the one thing you kind of look at as far as tweaking it and getting more exposure, clearly your argument is well thought out and rightly so. You know, you're trying to do what's best for the horse racing industry. I think the one elephant in the room would be television. What is that, you know, as far as, you know, the TV deal that is struck to kind of have from Churchill Downs all the way over to the Preakness, to the Belmont. What is it that would come into play when it comes to the TV deal?
I personally have not had any extended conversations with NBC, who does the TV for Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. But I got no kickback in general talking to some of the key people that were down there. They haven't really researched it, but I got no adamant no. I didn't get, we can't do it or anything else. And remember, NBC, with what they do with racing, they're one of the premier stations that works with racing. They want a bigger product. They want an expanded presence. And like I say, done right, I think they buy in. Now, that's my personal opinion, Brett. I mean, but I've had no negative kickback from them at all.
Well, Tom, what would be the timeline of something like this to get off the ground and running? Obviously, 2015, too late for that, I'm guessing. But are you thinking if this really got rolling, 2016, 2017 maybe?
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you on the 2015, because here's how this works. The Triple Crown nominations come out at the end of the year. I mean, the horses are already there. It's not going to change anything with them, okay? It depends how serious we are and how much support. Would it be difficult to accomplish by 2015? Probably. But I would tell you, if the industry really wants to do this and move forward, it can be done. Realistically, there's absolutely no reason it can't be done by 2016.
So when we look at from a breeding standpoint, I guess my question would be, is it just a matter of, you know, from a horse's fiber, is all about the fast twitch muscle fiber that is not giving the horse a chance to recover, because it just obviously from a just a, you know, physiological standpoint, it takes longer for that muscle grouping to recover? I mean, is it just that simple? And if so, why not just change up the dynamic of the industry, if you will, or saying, look, if the Triple Crown is our jewel of our sport, if it is our Super Bowl, World Series, whatever you want to call it, Stanley Cup, then why not allow for that style of breeding to take place to help out that training, to help out that five-week span?
That's a valid question. Over the past 15 years, I would say roughly, the breeding's changed where the horses are bred more for speed, for shorter distances, and to be able to get black type and graded races, because then they go to the breeding shed. And there's significant money to be made in the breeding side of this. So that's taken over the last probably 15 years. To turn this around and do what you want and breed the horses more for stamina versus speed, it would take quite a few years to get back in that. Because remember, if you breed a horse today, he doesn't really get to the races for 3 to 4 years. So that cycle to do that would take a considerable amount of time. And as I said, being totally honest, on the breeding side, there's a lot of money to be made. We've had this argument on the breeding side before, but it really hasn't changed the breeder's mentality of breeding for speed, precociousness, and really getting black type and making a name for themselves.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. And, you know, my other thing, and this was really made evident with the whole nasal strip gate thing, which is just so ridiculous, Tom. We would love some uniform rules and everyone on the same page in general, which makes me think you're trying to climb Everest here, just how hard it is just to think about. They needed a few meetings to allow California Chrome, after winning the Derby and Preakness, to wear a freaking nasal strip. I mean, that's hard for me to even to fathom. So to think about moving something, this feels a lot more colossal than that.
Well, the only comment I'll make is the mid-Atlantic states, there's New York, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, West Virginia, Maryland, and Virginia. We, over this past 12 months, have agreed on implementing the national uniform medication requirements. So all states in this area employ those. We deal with Lasix, that state vets have to give Lasix. We've dealt with what medications are allowed, what medications aren't allowed, and the time frame. So when everybody was kind of quizzing, well, can these states get together and do it, Maryland was the leader. We were the first out of the box under Bruce Quaid and the Maryland Racing Commission to do it. And the other states, we all worked together. So those states in the Mid-Atlantic did come together to make the, you know, implement the national medication rules. Here's the thing, Brett. The industry has been slow to change over the years. We've done ourselves a lot of damage, shooting ourselves in the foot. I've had no qualms about saying what we've done on the media front and attracting younger people hasn't been up to par. And I think people more and more are realizing perception is reality, and how people view us. If they don't view us in a positive light, that we can't come together and do certain things, I think we're in trouble. And I think we're, you know, if we want our business to maintain and grow, we have to be proactive. And in my view, this is a proactive move. I think it can help everybody, and I think it's good for the horse. And, you know, the only argument I get, the main argument I get, is on tradition. That's the main argument. I did an interview Saturday with a bunch of different people, and the one guy said, well, you're going to have to put an asterisk by a horse if he wins Triple Crown.
Sure.
And my only comment to that is, take any of the major league sports, NFL, NBA, hockey, baseball. They've made so many changes in the games over the years with wild cards and 3 points and designated hitters, you know, and all this stuff. Do you really believe that the Seattle Seahawks, who won the Super Bowl because their season was different or there were wild cards involved or the rules changed or the format changed, that you got an asterisk by the Seattle Seahawks to say, well, you won the Super Bowl, but you didn't do it the same way they did 30 years ago?
That's a great point.
And I mean, it's just like a team that, you know, if the season was 12 games long and they went 12-0 and they extended the season to 16 games and the team went 16-0, is the guy with 12-0 worse than, you know, okay, we didn't go undefeated? I just don't get it. I don't understand. And when you look at this, okay, all the horses are going to be on an equal playing field. You know, if a horse races in the Derby and runs second, he has the same chance coming back to the Preakness, and he has the same chance coming back to the Derby, I mean, to the Belmont. So, I mean, sure, it's radical, Brent. I'm sure you had a lot of calls that were pro and con. But, I mean, as I said, if the industry has to be proactive, and we have to start doing some things. And we need to be out in front of this in the public. You know, 3 more months or 2 months, you know, if you start, you know, promoting the Derby in April and you end in July, I mean, that gives us a pretty good window to head into some big races in the summer and into the Breeders' Cup in the fall.
You know what, Tom? After everything you've done for the Preakness Stakes and Maryland Racing, you certainly deserve a lot of attention on any idea you give. So it's a fascinating one. Your points are incredibly valid, and hopefully we'll continue the discussion, to say the least.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show, Brett.
That's Tom Chukas, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, coming off of a terrific weekend for us here in Baltimore, Maryland, and for the Preakness Stakes, number 139. When will number 140 be? That is the big question. Number 141. We'll come back with more next year on Sportsline.